You got to see the kids live out this passage for us this morning in a beautiful way. We're in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided one for you. It's page 934 in most of those Bibles in front of you. 934. And this is the story of the Magi. And we're going to read a section of this morning. But before we do that, I just need to tell you, I absolutely love Christmas. I love every single thing about it. If I could liken myself to a character in the movies, I'm Buddy the Elf. I just get super excited. If it was up to me, lights would be puked all over our front yard in an annoying way with music. I just absolutely love everything there is about Christmas. I like the food. I like the season. I like buying presents. I like going to the mall and seeing all the crazies look for presents. I'm really excited about this season. And the reality is that not everybody comes into Christmas that way. I think some of us come into Christmas thoroughly excited. And there's degrees of excitement. There's degrees of love for Christmas. Some of us love it. Some of us love it. Some of us are indifferent about Christmas. We could give or take. Maybe we like a different holiday more. Maybe we're really passionate about Thanksgiving or Halloween or whatever. But maybe we're just kind of indifferent about Christmas. And then some people do not like Christmas at all. They would, you know, they just prefer that it just be passed right on by. Not me. Everything about it I love. But that's not how everybody views Christmas and the Christmas season. In this passage of Scripture, we're going to see that there's a similar way that people view Jesus. There are some people that absolutely love and want to worship him. There's some who are kind of indifferent. And then there's some who have not only a dislike, but a hatred. And we see that fleshed out in this passage. So if you join me in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said. 'Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. 'A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.'" This is a crazy, somewhat hard story to hear, and at the same time, absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I think it's important to look at, there's a couple characters in here that we have to highlight in order to fully understand what's going on in this text. The first, we have the Magi. The Magi, and we have Herod, and then these chief priests and teachers of the law. All three of these characters in this passage of Scripture all have some kind of interaction or dealing with Jesus. They all have some kind of response to Jesus. First, the Magi were from Persia, most likely from Persia. They were a group of wise men, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers. It was a root name that was given to a large group of people that sought after the magical, the mystic, stars, hidden meanings, hidden languages, any of those kind of things. That whole group of people was lumped into this term, Magi. And then we have Herod. Herod is known as Herod the Great. He brought stability to the region of Israel. He was a great builder. He started rebuilding the temple. And he was politically gifted. He made it through 2.5 different Caesars in Rome. And so he was really good at controlling scenarios to stay in power. And he was extremely, extremely paranoid. His paranoia led him to kill his wife and three of his own sons. And a lot of his trusted people around him. Anybody who seemed to be a threat to him, their life was ended. So this is his character. And then we have the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests were former officers in the office of high priest. Herod liked to change these constantly, and they ended up in this group called the chief priests. And then you had scribes, or the teachers of the law. They were experts in the Old Testament and oral tradition. So these are the three main characters that we see in the first part of this passage of Scripture that have to do with some kind of interaction with this Jesus, this Messiah that's been prophesied about. The Magi, these group of people that looked at the stars, that studied all these different hidden meanings and different things, had interaction with the Jews for a long period of time. Way back during the time of the prophets, hundreds of years before, those lines begin to blend. And so the Magi were very familiar with the Jewish customs and laws and prophecies. They knew that there was a prophecy of a great leader who would come out of Judah. And then this celestial anomaly ends up in the sky. We don't know what that star was. There's been lots of theories about it. Maybe it was two planets that lined up and got really, really bright. Some people think it was a comet. Some people think it was just a bright light that magically appeared in the sky, flowed across the sky. It was a spiritual light and ended up over Israel and then ultimately over Bethlehem and came to rest literally on Jesus' head. And that's where we get the idea of a halo. And so there's all different kinds of theories about what that star, that light, maybe it was a person with a star, I don't know. But it was some kind of celestial anomaly up in the sky that people took notice to, and the Magi related it to the prophecies of this great leader that was to come out of Judah. And so they go to Israel, they go to Judea. They don't go to Bethlehem, they go to Jerusalem because that's the capital, and so they're going to go. Surely the king knows about the new king who's coming. So they go see the king. And then we have this, I love this quote, from his birth, a stir begins as soon as Christ is born. He has not spoken a word, he has not wrought a miracle, he has not proclaimed a single doctrine. But when Jesus was born at the very first, while yet to hear nothing but infant cries and see nothing but infant weakness, still his influence upon the world is manifest. There came wise men from the east. There is infinite power, and there is in this infant Savior. This child invokes these wise men who have studied and researched to get up, go, and search for this anomaly that has come into the world. They have to figure out what this anomaly, this Messiah really is. And then we have several interactions between these characters that take place. The Magi come and say to the king of the Jews, that was Herod's title, they say to the king of the Jews, where is the king of the Jews? For we saw his star, and that's why we're here. We've come to look for him. So the immediate response from Herod and all of Jerusalem is the sense of being disturbed. Now, we had three wise men in our little story right here, and oftentimes we hear the story of the three wise men. We sing songs about the three kings, but the reality is it was probably a large group of these wise men that came with a huge, you know, host with them. So can you imagine this large group of people coming from a neighboring town, probably with all kinds of, you know, pomp and circumstance, coming in? I liken it to the big dog syndrome. I love dogs. How many, we got dog lovers out here? Okay. So when a big dog comes, there's oftentimes two reactions from a big dog. And you're not really sure at first. When the dog approaches you, he could put his paws right up on your shoulders and lick you to death. Slobber all over your face. Or it could be completely different scenario than that. I was hanging out with a friend of mine one day, and he had a Rottweiler. And I had interacted with this dog a number of times. And I bent down, I put my hand on his, oh, how you doing, Natasha? And she bit me in the face. I went immediately to the ER and got my face fixed up. This huge group of people come in from a neighboring town. There has been battles back and forth, even within 20 years of this taking place. And these people show up looking for a king. You're darn right all of Jerusalem was disturbed. They didn't know what was going to happen next. Herod had interacted with several different Caesars at this point, and so he's on his guard. He wants to figure out who these people are and why do they want to know and why are they not recognizing me as king? Why are they not recognizing me as king? I am king of the Jews. I've been given that title from the Caesar. You don't need to look any further. I am he. I am he. We have this interaction then between Herod and the chief priests and the chief teachers of the law. He asks them, where is the Messiah to be born? And immediately in the text, we see verse 6, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Immediately they give the response, oh, we know where the Messiah is going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. It's the last we hear of this group of people. They don't go, oh, you know what? Let's go down to Bethlehem and find this Messiah. No, they stay put, and that's the end of their interaction on the subject. Completely indifferent to whether or not this is or isn't the Messiah. And then we have this interaction between Herod and the Magi. Oh, he's in Bethlehem. Go down there. And when you find him, why don't you come back? Get me. Then I'll come down and we'll worship the Messiah. And so they go. And their response is threefold. They see him. They worship him. They bow down and give this baby reverence. Not a grown person, a baby, and they give him reverence. And then they give him gifts. Have you ever tried really hard and sought to find that one thing that you needed for Christmas? We have all different kinds of avenues now today to find that gift that we need. But this season, we've been looking for a couple things. And you go to the store, and they're completely sold out. You get there a little late. Oh, we had those about an hour ago, and now they're gone. And so you go online, and they're not even on Amazon. Come on, Amazon has everything. and you get on Amazon and they're not on Amazon. And then you just happen to be in the store at the right moment, at the right time, and you look down underneath the shelf and you see one that's kind of, but that's not really the one you're, and then you see it. And your eyes light up and you, could it be? Could that be the thing I've been looking for? And so then you go to get the person with the key. And you come and you open the door and it is exactly what you've been looking for. The Magi have been looking and searching for years about this promised Messiah that was foretold of. All of a sudden, the star is in the sky, and it is illuminating, and it is drawing them to Judah. This miraculous thing in the sky comes to reside over the place where Jesus is. And when they get there, seeing this infant child, they know inside their soul that he is the one they've been searching for. And the response is swift and easy. Worship, bow, and give gifts. Not everybody in the story follows that same path that the Magi did. It concludes with two stories of dreams. A dream of the from the Magi in their dreams saying, don't go back and tell Herod. Go a different way. Go home. So they do. And a dream to Joseph. Take your family. Go to Egypt. For Herod is not going to be nice to your child. And Herod's response to it all. Complete and utter anger that leads to genocide of any male 2 years and under. Those are the response. This is the response of the king in this scenario. I believe there's three responses that we see. The first is Herod displays an open hatred and hostility towards Jesus. Open hatred and hostility towards Jesus. And then the chief priests and the scribes are completely indifferent towards Jesus. Take it or leave it. Well, he might be the Messiah, but we're not even going to go and investigate. We'll just pass over it. And then the wise men who sought out Jesus worshiped him even at a great cost in travel and all kinds of different things. And if you look at what the wise men did, if you look at what the Magi did, I think we see this pattern that Spurgeon tells us. Those who look for Jesus will see him. Those who truly see him will worship him. Those who worship him will consecrate their substance to him. You can seek, you can worship, and you can give. I want to close with, what's our response to this story? What's our response to this story? Certainly, we could respond by going, I completely dislike this. I completely dislike Jesus. Or I can respond and say, I could care less. Or we could respond in one of these three ways, a pattern that we see fleshed out in the Magi. Seek and pursue. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're in a place where you really want to seek and pursue who Jesus really was. You're not at a place yet where you're fully ready to say he was Messiah. He was the Savior that came into the world. But you want to seek and pursue that maybe there's a possibility he is. And then I think for some of us, you've been seeking, you've been pursuing, and now you're ready to recognize and respond that he is Jesus, he is Messiah. He is Savior of the world. And then maybe you've already made that response, and so now our response is this, to value who he is and to give our lives to him in whatever capacity he is calling us to. Once again, seeking and pursuing, recognizing and responding, or valuing and giving. All these we see manifest in the life of the Magi. I'm going to close us in prayer. We're going to sing one more song. In your bulletins, you'll see this little card. It says right on it, I am seeking and pursuing Jesus. I've chosen to recognize and respond to Jesus. I'd like to join a connection group. This is one of the ways in our church where we connect to one another and we grow in our relationships with God together. Those get started back up after the holidays. Or maybe you just need, I just need some follow-up. I just need somebody to contact me. I'm not really sure where I am on this list, but I need some help in figuring it out. I'm going to give you two ways that you can use this card. One is after we're done singing, prayer people are going to be up here at the front. I want you to come up and bring that card with them, and they'll be willing to pray with you. The other way you can do it, maybe you're not at that place, you want to fill it out, fold it up. There is a box on the back wall over here. I want you to stick this little piece of paper in that box, and I promise you we will follow up with you and help you through this process. Let me just pray for you as we close. Lord Jesus, there are those of us in each one of these three places this morning. Lord, I pray right now for those who are seeking and pursuing. Lord, I pray that you would even now begin to bring your enlightenment into them about this man Jesus that they are seeking and pursuing. Those who are ready to respond to Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would speak right now to their souls. And those of us who have made a decision to follow Jesus, I ask that you would fill us to the measure of all fullness so that we would, in every single day, way, shape, and form, value you and give to you and to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Once